So today, we're going to be talking about hospitality and honoring God. Today's passage is Luke 10, 38 through 42. Sorry about that, guys. All right. So before we get started, I would like to go ahead and pray. So let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you for your word. And I just ask that it has nothing to do with whatever words I say today. But the only thing that matters is what you have to say to us, God. I ask that you would open up our hearts to what it is you would have us learn from your word. And I just ask that you would give us the strength to not just be willing to listen to what you have to say, but actually do what it is that you've called us to do and you're putting on our hearts. As we reflect your word, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read Luke 10, 38 through 42. I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and that's what's also on this screen as well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's kind of interesting, the family life of Mary and Martha. In your notes in the bulletin, I encourage you guys to read John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46, and also John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And the reason why is it allows you, that I'm not going to cover it now, is because I want you guys to discover it for yourself, the family dynamics between Jesus and also between this family. This storyline between this family and Jesus is, some have said, is the more, you see the more human side of Jesus, especially when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. In this story, we don't see Lazarus. He's not a part of this story. But I encourage you guys to continue on reading in your private time to dive more into the interactions between Jesus and Mary. How many of you guys are older siblings, or the oldest sibling? How many of you guys are the youngest? I'm the youngest. Darren, he was here too. They're our first service. Good job, Darren. I am the youngest in my family, youngest of eight. My parents got divorced when I was one, and my dad remarried when I was 8 years old. And I was always kind of the problem child. I was ADHD. I didn't like sitting, didn't like listening. And my brothers always were very strict and stern with me. I mean, they had a right because of who I was as a kid to a certain degree. But I remember whenever my brother Richie graduated from Marine Boot Camp in San Diego, and so we went down there. We saw his graduation, and then on the way back, my parents wanted to take all the kids to Disneyland because it's not very often you travel with eight kids down to San Diego. So on our way back, we spent a couple days in Disneyland, and I remember whenever I wanted to go do a ride, especially like one of the kid rides, like Peter Pan or something like that, my older brothers, because we're in groups, and some of my brothers were 19 and 20. There was a big age gap between all of us. It was spread out pretty evenly, but I was always with my one brother, Mac, and he always wanted to ride all the cool rides, and there was even one ride I couldn't ride, so I had to stand at the entrance or at the exit, and they would watch me, and I had to stand there, and I kind of wandered off a little bit, but I came back by the time they got back. I got in trouble, but I didn't I didn't go too far. But whenever I wanted to ride a ride, my older brothers, I just remember saying, no, you can't do that. We're going to ride the rides we want to, and you're going to enjoy it. And that was just kind of their mentality. I had, in the Western, I forget what part of it, they had these where you put your hands and head through, and, you know, it's like you're in jail, and I took a picture of it. And it's pretty accurate to how I remember first time at Disneyland. But we see family dynamics here in this passage. We see the older sister, who is Martha, and the younger sister, who is Mary. And it's kind of interesting. But as we look at Jesus' ministry, I would guess that Jesus, he traveled back and forth a lot to Jerusalem. And I would guess that he, a lot of towns, he would have been very familiar with some of the ladies, because usually the guys were off working in this culture, and so the ladies were the primary hosts. And so he would have kind of favorites. It's kind of hard to say that Jesus would have favorites, but in my mind, I think Jesus would have favorites, especially as often as we see Jesus interact with Martha and her household in the different Gospels. And so most of the time, the women would be in charge. The men would often be off at work or whatever, and then if a traveler, or especially if a rabbi or a teacher came by, it was their job to make sure that they honored their household and their husband also by being a good steward, by inviting people over. But if we look at this chapter, and we look at the book of Luke, and also the book of Acts, Luke wrote both books, and we look at how important hospitality was to Jesus in the different Gospels, and then we also see it, how important it was to the early church as well. The Gospels and the stories of Jesus point us to the fact that God loves and wants his people to be hospitable to those that we know and love, and to the people we may not know very well or at all. In verse 42, we can get hung up on the competition between Mary and Martha. This is not about which one is better. Both are important. Some have used this passage to make Martha and those who identify with Martha as poor examples. But that's not true to the story that we're being told here today. Martha is doing a good work. Jesus does not condemn her. She is welcoming a traveler. We don't know if Jesus had any interactions before this. This is the earliest account of Jesus with Mary and Martha. But we do know that Martha was being a hospitable person. The question that we are faced with here in this story is, how do we balance work that we need to do and the time that we need to spend with Jesus? This is not who is better or who chose better between Mary and Martha. Mary chose to spend time with Jesus, but without people like Martha, who would eat? This is about finding the right balance in life. If we look how Jesus responds to Martha, Jesus did not say, "Why are you not sitting at my feet like your sister?" But it's about how Martha is worrying too much about making everything perfect. Jesus said, "Very few things are needed. Do what is needed to be done, and don't allow the rest to consume your life. For there are better things in life," Jesus said. "For there is only one thing that is best in life, and that is Jesus." Jesus is saying that we should not get lost in our work and the things we want to do or the things we want to have, but come and rest beside Jesus after we have done the things that he has asked us to do and that we needed to do. But Martha is trying to make it all about her. She's trying to make it who is better. Martha believes that her work is more important than what Mary is doing. Martha even gets frustrated at Jesus. Martha makes her case that she is doing all the work and her sister is just goofing off. Then she blames Jesus for encouraging her sister to not do her part, and then tries to have Jesus put her in his place as if she was in control of Jesus. We need to make sure that we are not putting our culture, our customs, higher than what God has asked us to do? How many times have we used tradition in church to step on other people or to correct them when we feel like they're out of line? How many times have you heard it has always been that way, and that is why we do it? With the undertone saying, and this is how you're going to do it. I've experienced this in other churches. I've even experienced this in this church about people who have been here for a while and done things the same way, and they feel the same way. It's not that traditions or customs are wrong. It's just when we allow them to control how we love and how we interact with other people, then it becomes an issue. As a result, Jesus is saying to Martha, both honoring God and serving others are needed in the kingdom of God, but if you must choose one, as Martha was trying to choose, Mary is closer to what matters. Not that what Mary is doing isn't important, but it's not the most important out of the two. Jesus is the only thing in this life that we should ever be worried about. Martha was worried about making sure all the trimmings and everything was right, because it wasn't just Jesus, it was also his disciples. And we don't know how, sometimes Jesus had a lot of disciples. Well, in the same chapter in Luke, he sends out 72 disciples. I'm assuming 72 disciples weren't in Martha's house. That'd be a big house. But we're not sure how many people. And so Martha was worried about it not being good enough or there not being enough. And Jesus is saying, just do what is needed. Don't worry about the rest. The only thing we should be worried about that should captivate our attention to that degree is our relationship with God. Everything else we just need to give to God and trust that he will provide. I struggle with this from time to time as well, especially since I became a parent. I worry about my kids a lot. Me and Darren, sometimes we have random conversations, and we're talking about rapture and, you know, if it happened, and Jesus, at this point, took up his church, all the believers. I asked Darren once, I said, would our kids come with us, or would our kids be left? Because it doesn't specify in it. And so there are things that are uncertain. I know God is good and just, and I'm not going to talk about the rapture. That's not the point. The point that I'm trying to make is that I worry about my kids and my family. Bills, I've struggled with. I was poor growing up, and I've struggled with bills long enough to know that if I just trust God, they'll get paid. If I honor God with my work, I know things, food will be on the table, there'll be a roof over my head and clothes on my back. And so for me, that's not so much a struggle these days. But my kids, my wife, those are things that sometimes I hang on to. And I feel like sometimes even I even take back from God, even though I know that they are his. But in this passage, Jesus calls us to only worry about spending time with him. Everything else will take care of itself. There is a call to be a good host in this story. In our culture, in the culture of Jesus' time, it was the woman to be the host while the men sat around and talked. And we see that even today, even in St. Mary's. Today, this is not bad if it works for you and your spouse. But what I'm getting at is that if we follow Jesus' example and how he lived and what he has promised to do for us, it is just as important for the men to be a good host as it is for the women. In our house, in our time, in this time in our life, I'm the cook in our house. And so when people are coming over, I'm usually the one finishing up cooking while Jennifer is the one entertaining the guests that come over. And when we first got married, Jennifer was the cook. And I was, when guests came over, I was the one that entertained them. And it's just because of where we are at in our life. And our roles have changed just because life has changed. But we both share our part in making sure that we are good hosts. Because we both want our place to be a place where people can come and get fed, food, but also have a chance to experience the love of Jesus to the best of our ability. And this and that ability is a direct result of how much Jesus is in us. If Jesus plays a very small role in our life, then the people will experience a very small portion of Jesus from us. Jesus has called every Christian to be hospitable and invite people over to our homes. This allows those that are not Christians to see how we live and to see how we honor others in our home. This could be a very powerful way to introduce Jesus to people, especially people that don't know Jesus. And in this passage, there's also a call to be a good guest. For those in Jesus, we are guests because this is not our home. This world is not our home. If we're not in a position to where we are expected to be the host, we should always take on the role of a good guest, because this home is not ours. Jesus was giving back to Martha's household by teaching them and loving them. Jesus was making the home a better place because of how he treated them and how he lived them. It's also the same true in this world. If we are not loving people and treating people better and making this world better, then what is the point of trying to go through the emotions of trying to be a good person? There isn't any point. The only point is if we love God and that love is reciprocated through us to others, because the rest is just, it's meaningless. It's just going through the emotions, going through the roller coaster. Whenever I would house sit, I would make sure that I'd put the house in better condition than when I first got there. I would always do my best. If they had a dog, I'd go pick up their poop. You know, if they had dishes, I would do their dishes and put them away. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm trying to give an example that whenever I was given a task or asked to do something, I would always do my best to put whatever I was given a care over to do more than what I was just asked, but to present it better than when I first got there. We often think of God and his power, how mighty God is and how powerful and majestic God is. He is all those things. And don't get me wrong, but how does God use his power? If someone was to ask you, how does God use his power? How would you respond? We who are in Christ were once orphans. We were poor, hungry, and evil in his eyes. Yet he gave everything so that we may have a home, that we may be fed, that we may be clothed, that we may have a family. God's example of serving others and loving them is not limited to Jesus' life and what we see in the Gospels. We see it throughout the Bible and how he lives and how he walks alongside of us. So what is the point of today's story then? We are called first to honor God with our time with him. As we learned last week, we cannot love others with the love that God has called us to love if we don't have the love of God in us in the first place. And the second point that I encourage you to walk away with is we are called to honor God with our hospitality and being good guests. If we love God, we will make this a high priority in our lives. God, in several places, I didn't want to go through the whole list of places, but God, throughout the Bible, has called us to be good hosts, to entertain people, especially those we don't know, and especially those who can't repay us, who can't return the favor because their house, they may not have a house. They may not have the money to provide the food for everyone, besides what they can barely afford for their family. And so today, I would encourage you guys to invite someone over at your house this week. Maybe, especially someone you don't know, maybe someone in this congregation, or maybe someone from your work. and allow them to see how you honor God, to see what it means to be a Christian in a real world, in real circumstances. If your kid throws up or throws food, that's okay. Let them see how you handle that, because that will speak louder than if you try to argue with them or try to show them facts on how you believe God is real in this life. Be hospitable and love those that you come in contact with. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. I ask that we would be obedient to you, that we would be hospitable, that we would love others, and that we would give without expecting anything in return. The thing that we get when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus, is you. Teach us that that is enough, and that we don't desire, that our desire isn't for other things, but only for you. And show us how, in a relationship with you and honoring you with all that we do, that you are all that we need, and that we take that message, we take what we know, and share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen.